Hello, everyone. This is Word with Dr. Michael David Clay, where all the magic happens. What a cheesy catchphrase, I guess you'd call it. I've heard it so many times. What magic is that? It's the stuff of legend, right? It's psychotherapy. The interesting thing about the podcast is you're not going to really get much in the counseling office or session than you're going to get on the podcast. You don't know that yet, but it's true. Most of the things that we speak of, talk about on the podcast weekly, come up in pretty much the same sort of way. You would say, oh my goodness, I hope not. In the therapy session. And in that same way, you say, well, what do you mean by that, David? There's no magic here. And maybe there's some truth to that in multiple ways. It's no different, so it's really not magic. But in some ways, you may be actually saying, yeah, but we don't find it all that helpful on the podcast. I hope that's not the case. And should it be, then you have not really gotten to know me yet. And maybe there's a lot to be said for in-person sort of dynamic. I used to believe that was the only way to do psychotherapy. That was the only way that the magic could happen. The legend, not me, but of lore, psychological lore, the psychotherapy, the legend, the legendary could actually take place. But that was disproven quite quickly when COVID hit. And we had to do everything virtually. I still believe that qualitatively, there's an edge to in-person communications. A lot of nonverbals are just something about being in the presence of another individual. But it's all about the relationship. That's the magic. That's the lore. That's the legend. And you might say, well, we really don't have much of a relationship on the podcast. Yeah, but we do, and that's why I said a moment ago, you need to get to know me better. And certainly in the therapy context of actual session, psychotherapy, the relationship has even more of a chance to be qualitatively better, not only the physical dimensions, proximity, common space. But there's all sorts of things in emotional dimensions that really are better communicated, again, personally, in person. The visual helps, but it's sort of like trying to text conversation in a text context that is emotionally laden. It's really hard to put words sometimes to it. Sometimes it's beyond words. I would even say it's a bit ethereal. I would even say it's a bit spiritual. And in that, I would even say it's a bit transcendental. And therein, again, is the lore and the legend. But the therapy relationship is crucial and important. And because it is so important to the outcome, you can't really expect a good outcome if you don't have a good working relationship. It is built a predicate upon empathy, perspective taking, genuine positive regard, reflective listening. Those are some of the terms that we've put to it. It's just being a decent person and paying attention. It is an individual who has a heart for other individuals, has some intuitive, whether that's all emotional, maybe it again, it's a spiritual, it's kind of a meta thing. It can maybe even verge upon something transcendental, ethereal. But if it's not there, the magic doesn't happen. If it's not there, there's really not much lore and legend to it. I would hope that some of that gets communicated on the podcast, at least through the podcast. That would be my intention. Psychology Today, March, April of 2024. Therapy's secret ingredient. How a strong patient-therapist alliance leads to better outcomes. by staff writer Tyler Woods. What makes therapy work? Fully answering that question will require all the books and studies that have been written and conducted on the topic over the decades. And even then, one might fall short of a full answer. But there is one factor that all agree on: the important role of the relationship between client and therapist. This relationship, often called the therapeutic alliance, is a partnership between the therapist and the client for the purpose of achieving the goals of treatment. It requires mutual trust and honest communication. The therapeutic alliance consists of three elements: agreement on the goals of the treatment, accordance on what's required to achieve those goals, and the development of a personal bond between client and therapist. Why is a connection important? In a word, results. According to a 2011 paper by researchers Rita Ardito and Daniela Ribellino, the quality of the client-therapist alliance is a reliable predictor of positive clinical outcome independent of psychotherapy approaches and outcome measures. That is, a strong alliance can make for successful therapy regardless of the type of treatment. Effective therapy sometimes requires a therapist to ask a client about difficult or painful parts of their life, and for the client to accept the challenge of responding honestly. As such, trust in each other and the overall process is paramount. Sometimes when you're uncomfortable in session, it's actually a good thing, says Ying Wang, MD, a psychiatrist in Pennsylvania. Sometimes you don't walk away feeling lighter. Therapy is a safe space for you to dig into messy feelings. It will hopefully lead to healing, but it may make you feel bad at times. A trusting relationship allows a therapist to challenge the client and go deeper. Clinical psychologist Cynthia Baum Baker, PhD, put it another way. The action of many therapies is to help people know and experience that it can take two people to understand one, she says. If you have a rapport and the client trusts you, then they feel that they have a hand to hold when they go out and do something scary. Signs of a strong connection. A strong therapeutic alliance can be gauged in part by whether you're fully yourself with your therapist. If you're mutually interested in what you're each saying, and if there's a feeling of positivity in your conversation, if you feel relaxed, supported, and able to be open about things that you're worried about, that's the center of rapport, explains Jeremy Nicholson, a social psychologist in Massachusetts. Can you tell this person things that are really bothering you that you wouldn't feel comfortable telling other people? That trust is the beginning of a successful therapeutic relationship. Authenticity. You feel physically and emotionally comfortable in their presence. This allows you to be open with your therapist and get to the root causes of your challenges. Attentiveness. You can tell your therapist has your best interests at heart. You listen to and consider what each other says. You might find yourself leaning in and making eye contact during a conversation rather than sitting stiffly or with arms crossed. Positivity. You feel safe and supported in sessions, not judged. The relationship between you and your therapist is friendly, perhaps even collegial. Each of these elements helps create a safe space where you and your therapist are able to talk honestly and positively about your thoughts and behaviors and develop a deeper understanding of who you are and what you can accomplish together. Bonding with your therapist. Don't assume that there is a problem if you and your therapist do not fully connect immediately. It could take time to build rapport. If you don't experience a strong connection, it may be worthwhile to tell your therapist how you're feeling. They may be aware, but able to alter, unaware, but able to alter their methods or approaches to better fit your personality and situation. It can be helpful if there is discomfort to bring it up in session, says Wang. I would not be offended or upset if a client did this. In fact, I would view it as valuable input. If the discomfort is because the therapist conducts the session in a certain way, that can be changed. If it's about something else, it can provide insight that may inform treatment. There are times when a good therapeutic alliance sours. Psychodynamic therapist Santiago Del Boy recalls an interaction he had with a client who became frustrated that Del Boy wouldn't give his own opinion on their predicament. In my experience, ruptures are unavoidable, Chicago-based Del Boy says. Therapy is a professional relationship, but it's also a personal relationship between two humans. Ruptures offer an opportunity not only for repair, but also for growth, for increased closeness. The experience of a patient sharing openly and honestly what hurts them and being listened to by a receptive therapist can itself be a healing experience. These instances don't necessarily require an end to treatment. A study that appeared in the Journal of Consulting and Clinical Psychology found that addressing and repairing ruptures in the alliance can lead to even stronger therapeutic relationships and improved outcomes. Ultimately, therapy is a relational endeavor. It exists in the space shared by therapist and client. The size of that space and what is possible therein relies on the strength of the relationship between the people sharing it. Again, Psychology Today, March, April, 2024. Therapy's secret ingredient, how a strong patient-therapist alliance leads to a better outcome, by Tyler Woods. Now, certainly, you may question the validity of my statement that we have that through the podcast. The podcast is educational. The podcast is relational. I try to make it as relatable and personal as possible. But I do miss the feedback. I don't get that from you because you're on the receiving end. I'm on the giving end. A true relationship is multidirectional, not unilateral. It goes multidirectional both ways. It has back and forth dimension. And in that, there is a synchronization that occurs. In that, what we call alliance begins to form. It is an alliance, I think, firstly, of physical proximity, should you come into the therapy session. Your first encounter with the office, the front office staff, the waiting room, my office. You're finding a comfortable space or place in the office. My assuming my regular seat. All of the logistics are there. There is some intention, strategy, energy, and effort that's gone into that, making it a comfortable space. Quiet, confidential, and comfortable. In that, no threats. In that, no intrusions. In that, no phone calls, no cell phones, no texts, no interruptions, no disruptions. The time is yours. And my attention is directed, even if it should be somewhat in a unilateral sort of way from you, directed towards you. But that isn't the end of it. There will be then, as we're becoming familiar with each other in some physical proximity, logistical, physical space sort of element, there's also then going to be the communication and the communication style. There'll be cultural differences that we'll negotiate. There'll be cultural awareness on my part. There will be an attempt to abridge any sort of cultural divide that should appear or present itself. Even the terminology that I use, I will do my best to make that translation, and in that, translatable. Not to continue to persist in psychologies, as we used to call it. All the nomenclature, the psychological sort of terms and terminology, to keep it really basic, to keep it really more human-oriented rather than technical. And along the way, while you're presenting to me, and I'm getting to know you, and we're beginning to form some dialogue beyond simply getting acquainted, introductory sort of communication or conversation, I will begin to share with you a bit of what the process will be like, what it will look like, much like the article kind of captures the dynamic of relationship. There'll be some of those disclosures. If I do that part well, you might not even recognize them as disclosures. In the same sort of way, when the gear is shifted from more introduction or more beginning sort of stages of that alliance rapport, formation of that alliance rapport, as we get into more of the so-called meat of the conversation, even at that first session, it'll be seamless. And with that, I will follow you, and with that, I will use all of those skill sets or all of those elements of that skill set, empathy, perspective taking, reflective listening, genuine positive regard, good eye contact, nonverbals, openness, leaning in to engage you. But it shouldn't be uncomfortable. And if it is, and you feel like it's getting to be a bit uncomfortable to the point of being cringy, stop it. Just say, wait a minute. I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm not ready to get into all of that. I don't know that I trust you enough. I should, as a psychological counselor, the one who is the professional, at not only the psychotherapy, but at this rapport building and alliance building, I accept all responsibilities to make those adjustments. I should have read that and probably have. I hope you would not feel that way with me. Should we be in that situation of actually conducting a psychotherapy session, me conducting it, you participating. But if it should happen, it's okay. I need that feedback. If I'm moving too fast, it's okay. I need that feedback. If I am moving too quickly in an insight sort of way, bringing up things that you're not really ready to address, though they may be accurate and true, it's okay to say, let's slow this down. It's okay to say, I'm not again at that place. Because that's the beauty of a relationship too. It's filled full of feedback. And even so, if I'm going to conduct this in those most clinical of terms, which moves it away maybe from the relational to the therapeutic approach, the theory that I operate off of, the whole premise of discovery, the idea of coming to a diagnosis, sharing that diagnosis, even so, in an intervention, clinical intervention strategy, strategic sort of manner or way, I need your feedback. Is it close? Is it far away from what we need to speak about? Are we on the mark? Am I missing the mark? Are we able to have common dimension of narrative that begins to form? Because science, if rightly applied, if empiricism and hypothetico model of deductive and inductive sort of discovery and application to the discernment, the determination of truth, it's going to have a narrative that needs to fit into your narrative. You need to share that with your therapist. They need to know that this is a construct that both you as well as they are actively participating in. Should it get to the place where it's a little more and gets that dimension of legend and lore, that's great. If it gets ethereal in that spiritual sort of way, that's great. If there becomes less of the division between you and them, you and me, that's okay too. Because when it comes time to close it, if that's the meat of it, then as we consolidate what we've done, as we reflect upon what we've done, if we've given each other proper feedback along the way, and now is a moment sort of defining so that we might then notch it, so that when we pick up next time, we don't have to cover the entirety of all that. We can pick it up where we left off. My job is to do that. I am trained to do that. And with that, as you go home, there'll be homework. There'll be some extension of what we've done in the clinical context, the session, that you'll take home with you. Hopefully, as I've done a good job within more the context of your social, your cultural, your psychosocial life outside of the therapy session, then I will know how to connect you to it or suggest ways that you can better connect. And nobody lives in isolation or in a bubble, hopefully. And should you feel like you are, then a good bit of the real magic of psychotherapy is to take those relational sort of discoveries, that consolidation, home with you, sharing it with significant others who can equally be part of your working through, your resolving the resolution of whatever the concerns were that brought you to see me or the psychotherapist in the first place. They're a part of that. Even if they don't do family therapy with you, even if it's not relational counseling as with couples or family, it's just you, individual. It's important that we give consideration to that and assist you in making those connections so that you can take what you've discovered, what's been hopefully a learning experience, a growth experience, an enhancement experience in that clinical context of psychological counseling home with you. For in the end, when you're done with the psychotherapy, the psychological counseling, when you're done with me, for the time being, and it doesn't have to be the final time, there can be periods of time between interventions, series of sessions. It can be over the course of a lifetime. There's no problem with that either. But really, the sustainability of the growth, the sustainability of the development has to have those real world connections. That's where true adaptability comes in. It's one thing to get along with your therapist. It's another thing to take it home with you and get along with others that occupy your real world, socially, and in that same sort of aspect, share common physical dimension, and with that rapport, with that relationship, with that the magic of all existence. How you get along with others as much as how you get along with yourself. If we succeed in that, and it probably won't just be a one session model, but if we succeed in that, every session will add to the session prior to that end. And when it's all said and done, we will know, you will know, I will know, we'll be giving each other sufficient feedback to know, okay, we've accomplished the goals. I didn't mention it, but the formation of even a treatment plan should be equally seamless. The intervention should not be stilted. And as much, again, any of the treatment goals or objectives would be articulated, they'll give us then measure. But I think overall, it will be intuitively so, again, legend and lore, magic. You'll know this has helped. You'll know this is better. You'll know it was worth your investment of your time, your resource, your energy. And there'll be good outcomes. And that's what I'm hoping for, not only in the counseling session, but I hope to communicate a bit of that on the podcast. And that's why we bring the podcast to you. And what is the podcast? Word with Dr. Michael David Clay. Should you want to reach out to me, you can do so. drmdclay@thewordhouse.com. TheWordHouse.com, on Facebook and YouTube at WordHouse, or you can call 304-523-9673, which is Word. You can also find me, as well as many, many other vetted providers, not always, as you would desire, having to be geographically in proximity to you. We have, again, this thing called telehealth. And you can do telehealth as much as coming into an office. But those providers you'll find on the Psychology Today directory. You can have one that is more regionally accessible to you, even in your hometown. Or you may choose to do it through telehealth and talk to somebody in another state, another geographical location. But there's plenty of options and choices. There's plenty of specialties and disciplines represented. Check out the directory. Check out the website. But until we do get a chance to do this thing of relationship and some modified rapport through the podcast, I'd like to take a moment to again thank you for joining us on Word with Dr. Michael David Clay, as well as, until we get that chance to do this again, to wish you the very best of good mind health, mental health, and to say, as always, Thank you so much for joining us today.